Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family. Schedule a consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Mention us, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time for the blitz on the teams you care the most about, all jammed into one segment, so let's do it. We start with Bobby Blanco, massinsports.com. Bobby, last night was really ugly. That seventh inning was cringeworthy stuff. They gave up 800 home runs. But in the game, actually, 7 home runs allowed was a record in a 9-inning game for the Nats. The Rockies were supposed to be the medicine. What's happening here?
Yeah, do we have to talk about the baseball team? I want to talk about how I can get Danny to be a casual golfer more often.
Dude, I'll play casual golf with you, Bobby.
Oh, please and thank you. I would love that, Danny. That'd be great. Maybe you can get me on the pickleball court, too. I've never tried it. I'd love to have some fun with you.
I agree with your terms.
But baseball, I mean, the Rockies were supposed to be the medicine. The Marlins were supposed to be the medicine. I think if you go up to New York and you get swept, yeah, that's not ideal, but there's no shame in that. That's one of the best teams. It's not the best team in the National League. But then coming home and then placing these two teams, you figured you would rack off. You know, I was setting the bar at, like, you got to win at least 5 of these next, 7, to feel really good about yourself. If you only go 4-3, all right, at least it's a winning homestand. But, you know, now they have to win these last two games just to not get swept out of this homestand and then completely flip that record to 2-5. So, yeah, it's been brutal. These teams were supposed to be the medicine for the Nationals. It hasn't happened. The offense looks sluggish and they don't come along until late. The starting pitching, I think for the most part, has given them a chance. I mean, I know Soroka hasn't been perfect, but last night he at least gave you a quality start. I just don't know. They haven't been able to put it all together, and I think a lot of it is just a lack of scoring runs.
Bobby, what's the clubhouse like? I mean, we're stuck here in studio, so we can't go over there during open locker room most days, and you're covering this team on the daily. What's the vibe like? What's the mood like for these guys?
Yeah, I know that, I was up with them in New York. No one likes to lose, but they were, having a good time. I think they were staying positive. They definitely take after Davey Martinez in terms of trying to stay positive, look forward, trying to take the positives out of, losses. But, I mean, like they said last night, no one likes to lose. I mean, losing 10 straight, no one especially likes doing that either. So, it's hard for these professional athletes who are highly competitive, who are at the top of their game in terms of skill and profession, and lose 10 straight and not take it personally, not take it hard. But I feel like they do come in every day with a positive attitude. Like I said, they do take after Davey in that sense a lot. They look to him for that kind of positive light always, no matter how doom and dark and gloomy it gets. I think they're just waiting for something to drop, right? Like, either the comeback win last night, you complete that, or on Monday, you get Kyle Finnegan who closes out that save, and you finally get that one. I think once they get that one, you kind of just have that big collective sigh of relief in there. I'm like, okay, it's over. Like, let's move on and just keep playing baseball.
And one of the scariest parts about this is when this series ends in 2 days, they go out west for a long trip. Dodgers, Padres, two of the best teams in the sport, and then the Angels. So, barring some upset wins, it's not like they're just going to start stringing victories together, although it would be very Nats if they bounced back and stole some games, I guess, in L.A. and in San Diego. One of the things Rizzo said on the Junks today was the beauty of baseball is there's always a game that night. And he said, we get to play tonight and try to get a win. Are they actually going to? It's raining really hard right now at our studio here, four blocks away. What's the weather like tonight? Are they going to get the game in?
I know we've got scattered storms around. I thought you had Ryan Clary on the program.
That was back when he used to come into the studio.
Yeah, he used to work with us. Now he's got this whole corporate thing.
Supposedly he sees us right now on the cameras. We don't know.
Well, we don't know. We can't confirm it.
Corporate Ryan working also for the Weather Channel. I mean, there might be a slight delay. I think these storms are coming through pretty quickly. I know there were a lot earlier this afternoon. Sounds like there's like one more wave coming in. They might not be able to start right at 6:45, but you definitely don't want to play a doubleheader tomorrow before, like you said, go on the West Coast and take a trip across the country. And the Rockies don't come back here. It's not like you're playing a divisional opponent where you might be able to squeeze them in at some point later in the season. So hopefully, if there is a delay, it's not that long of a wait. But I know it's we're getting to the D.C. summer middle of it, so it's hot and humid and sticky and gross, and no one likes it.
Correct.
Two nights ago when I was at game one of this series, the announced attendance was 11,000. And you know what that means, right? The amount of butts and seats was probably a few thousand fewer than that. But I bring that up. It was not a great weather night that night. A night like tonight, though, what if that keeps happening, where there aren't people coming to these games when they're not playing the marquee teams that have traveling fan bases? That seems like it's a real big problem business-wise, because that might be the one thing that's noticed.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously, this is a business for some people in that building, and you know, they're looking to make money off of it. And if people aren't buying tickets, they're not in the stadium, they're not buying concessions or gear or merchandise. That's obviously going to leave a problem, and which would be a shame, because they have had a couple of sellouts earlier in this year because people were coming to the ballpark. They were coming to see James Wood, T.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore pitch, and they, you know, some of those marquee matchups like that Dodger series was electric, and the Nats won two of three of that at home, and they had a chance to sweep the Dodgers. So obviously fans, they're smart, they're gonna not come if the team's losing, and they're gonna show out when the team's winning. So it all starts with winning. If this team starts turning around and starts winning again, then I think you'll see more friends going down to South Capitol Street.
Bobby, thank you, buddy. I always appreciate it. I'll put you on my pickleball invite list. That'll be a big step for us.
Okay, that sounds good. You're on my golf invite list then.
Hell yeah, dude. I like it. I accept your terms. Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
You got it, dude. Hit that wizard sounder, please. We'll squeeze a little bit in. Got some finals talk as well with our pal Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports. We're a week away from the draft, though, Chase. Give me the latest and greatest. Is Ace Bailey falling, ?
Yeah, that is kind of the latest with the Wizards right now. ESPN has moved Ace Bailey into the sixth spot in their mock draft because new intel has come out that he might fall a little bit on draft night. Now, on the night of the lottery, I was mentioning Ace Bailey as a possibility. I thought he was the fourth best player in this draft. So, you know, you don't have to fall very far to get to six. And I think you look at the fit with some of the teams that are right ahead of the Wizards. Not great places for Ace Bailey to land, but as we've come to learn, there's also some talk about him not working out for teams. And there's also been a few red flags along the way that I think loom a lot larger if you're picking third. But if you're picking sixth, like the Wizards, you know, you're not going to have the same expectations for a guy as if you take him third overall. Also, the Wizards have the 18th overall pick, so they could mitigate the risk a little bit. And if he falls to sixth, I think that'd be tremendous value, a guy who has superstar potential in terms of his athleticism, size, and shooting, and is very, very young, just has to be coached up the right way.
So what is the baggage? I mean, you kind of went into it, but one of the things I read was, I mean, he's listed everywhere at like 6'10", and supposedly he's like 6'8", maybe.
So I've known that for months. It's funny. I went to go see him play in College Park. He was playing against Maryland, and I was sitting up pretty high. And then I go down at halftime, and my buddy Jimmy Passos is like, Ace Bailey's not 6'10". So I watched the whole second half from court level, and he's a little bit shorter than Juju Reese, who's about 6'9". So I don't know why they listed him at 6'10". He's not 6'10".
I'm even looking at something here where he's listed at 6'11". Like, you don't get to give yourself, you can't give yourself 3.5 inches.
It's not a dating profile, dude.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So he's more like 6'7.5" without shoes, which means he's about 6'8.5", 6'9" on the court, which is fine, right? That's still plenty of size for what he does and for his position. So I don't know why they decided to lie, but that wasn't great news for him. Also, he has kind of poor shot selection. He takes a lot of long twos, contested long twos, which are a big no-no in today's NBA. So I think that'll get worked out immediately, which with whatever team drafts him. And also, he's not a very willing passer. He had, like, I think it was 11 games this year with zero assists. So whatever team gets him is going to want to make sure that his shot selection improves. You're not going to be taking long twos. It's going to be at the rim or for three-point range. That's how the analytics tell you to shoot. And then also, he's going to have to become more of a playmaker. But I think he's also got some tools defensively. So I think it's a good canvas, and he's really young. He should be a senior in high school. He reclassified just like Cooper Flagg did. So that's got to be kept in mind. But again, if you're taking him third overall, that's a big risk. Sixth overall, I like the value there.
Chase, what should I do for my broken heart when Trey Johnson goes five?
I think he's probably going five. I don't see him falling down to six. You especially think about the Utah Jazz being led by Danny Ainge and the type of wings that he likes, you know, building the team in Boston that's got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So I think the fit is great there. But if he does go fifth and Ace Bailey's on the board at six, you know, Kaman Malawach is still available, Derek Queen, maybe Con Knipple, we'll see. I think there's still going to be plenty of talent for the Wizards to choose from. But you just look at a guy like Trey Johnson at 6'6 with his shooting profile, those guys don't often fall to the sixth pick, no matter what the year of the draft.
All right, Chase, last one. Let's go outside the Wiz in the draft here. NBA Finals, game six is tomorrow night, so one more sleep. And then the Thunders have a chance to finish off the Pacers in Indianapolis. And the Thunder are the better team when Tyrese Halliburton's healthy and available. We're not even sure that he's going to play. Is Indiana cooked?
I think they are. You know, and I'm tempted to say that they got one more in them because they've been doing this all postseason, right? Just when you think they're dead, whether it's within a game or a series, they pull out a miracle. It kind of reminds me, I know you guys have been talking a lot about the 2019 Nationals, but remember, they had so many comebacks that, like, by the time you got to the championship series and the World Series, it's like, well, this is just what they do. Yeah, they're down two runs, it's the eighth inning, but this they have them exactly where they want them. That's been the Pacers all postseason, but Tyrese Halliburton is their best player, and he did not look right last game. He could not get separation. He could not get past what is already a really difficult defense to get past. So I think the Thunder end it in game six.
Chase, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
You got it, pal. Hit that local 53 sounder, please, Darius. In the rain, no less, GP. It's pouring rain. We find this guy in the alleyway wandering around aimlessly, muttering about football stuff. Our guy Chris Russell joins us in
Rainey,
studio.
What were you doing in the Navy?
What were you doing?
No umbrella either.
No.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
I didn't even plan on having you on the Blitz. I just told Darius, I said, go get him.
Help him.
Dripping, soaking wet. He looks freezing, the poor guy.
So you ask what I'm doing in the Navy Yard. Sorry, Darius, I didn't mean to cut you off. I wanted to come down and see a great baseball team. The Colorado Rockies are in town.
That's true. You're talking about the buzzsaw, the home run? The killers?
The zing.
Larry Walker.
Toby and I were workshopping a zing last night. Like, there was one of the worst teams in the history of baseball at Nats Park this week. It just wasn't the Rockies.
Yeah, and the Rockies were there, too.
Yeah.
I know.
Rainey, seriously, why were you in the Navy Yard? I saw you.
I like you do it seriously.
Cold and wet. And then I sent Darius down. Now you came up and you're like, would you guys mind if I went in on the Blitz? We said, no problem.
Yeah, if I shower.
I know
you're
not here for the game. Why were you in the Navy Yard?
I mean, what other reason can I come up with? Danny, you're the funny one.
Andy's Pizza inside of the bar.
Yes. I wanted some Andy's Pizza.
Just for the future. Every time you come on,
we
start it the same way.
Uh-huh.
You could prepare an answer.
Well, I already said I wanted to come see one of the worst teams in baseball.
That's true.
That was his material?
Yeah, that was it.
I'm sorry. I'm not a stand-up comedian like some people are.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll take it back, Rainey. You did have an answer.
He did an answer.
Okay.
I wanted a second answer. That probably is asking too much.
Yeah. Would you like me to bring you some whatever this is?
Asparagus and carrots.
That's as good as money, sir. Here's what I want.
In fact, I'll eat one of these pieces of wilted asparagus right now.
Oh, that's so sad. God. Don't do it. Ew. Oh man. It's slimy. Hey, Jair Alexander signed with the Ravens for like $11.
Yes.
Is it fair for us to go, man, that's probably better value than trading three picks and spending $18 million on Marshawn Lattimore?
Sure, absolutely. The problem is when they did that, Jair Alexander wasn't guaranteed to be available, wasn't guaranteed to be out of Green Bay. Jair Alexander has played 14 games in the last 2 years combined. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore, whatever you think about Marshawn Lattimore, he might actually be more available and more ready to help his team.
How many more games? Like three?
Over 3 years, Jair Alexander played more than Lattimore. Over 3 years. Fair. Over the last two, that's
fair.
You're right.
Fair. Here's what I would say. I wondered when he officially got let from Green Bay if the Commanders would be in on that at all. It doesn't seem like they were. The price is pretty damn low. And again, it's because of availability. Mm-hmm. At that price, I probably would have rolled the dice. Now, what we don't know is, A, what would he have been willing to pay for that price, play for that price here, as opposed to with his best buddy, Lamar Jackson? I don't know.
No, totally understand.
And they don't really need him.
So my two questions are these. Let's say Lattimore's contract was voided. They could have got out for very little issue, right? Yeah. They could have had an off-ramp. Mm-hmm. What would he get in free agency? I bet you'd be something similar to what Alexander signed for, what Jonathan Jones just signed for, given the injury history. Yeah, that's point one. And then let's assume both are healthy. Who would you rather have, Alexander or Lattimore? But it's a difficult assumption because neither has been for the last several seasons.
I would say if both are healthy, I'd probably lean towards Jair Alexander slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, I think the market price on Lattimore would probably be heavily incentive laden, $3-4 million base, somewhere in that range. And Jair got four.
How much does Ben Sinnott get involved in the passing game this year?
I think that depends on if Zach Ertz obviously is healthy like he was last year, even though he got banged up and had to come out of a couple of games, he played in all 20 games, which was something I never expected, right? So if somehow Zach Ertz can stay reasonably healthy for year number two with the Commanders, I don't think it's a huge increase for Sinnott. You hear like mentally he was overwhelmed at times. And listen, that's not a surprise, right? You're in your rookie year. It is a big-time adjustment from, where did he come from? K-State?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big-time jump.
I thought that was a rhetorical question.
No, I was just making sure that I was right on that. I thought that. So the answer for me is if Zach Ertz misses a few games, then obviously he steps up, and so does, John Bates. That being said, if Zach Ertz is healthy and, again, can play, I don't know, all but one game this year. Yeah. Zach Ertz, we know, is going to be the primary option in the red zone on third down, on fourth down.
Rini, you've got the hotline number.
Yeah.
You've got our cell phones. Please don't let us look out the window and see you in the rain
like
again.
A wet dog out there.
All you got to do is tell your buddies, it's wet outside and I need somewhere warm to sit.
I like the face-to-face kind of interactions that we have.
He does like that.
So let us know that you're in the rain and we'll bring you in.
I mean, Danny reminded me right before this of another interaction that we had back in 2009.
Back in 2009.
Yeah. So we've been working together a long time.
It was a long time ago, and I'm not proud of this.
That was like four Chris Russell jumps from one station to the other.
Yeah. So he was doing an update, and I was working with Holden, and Holden kept egging me on, telling me it'd be really funny, right? I didn't know anything at the time, and I'm not proud of this. But
You were doing the thing where like Holden told you to bully him or something?
Yeah, and so I mooned Russell during his update. And I got him to break and laugh. And finally, he ended the update with, I'm sorry, I can't continue. And we all laughed about it and had a good time. And Holden did that laugh that wasn't like friends laughing. It was the like, now the kid's internalizing all the pain and is humiliated, bully in school type laughter. And I went, and as soon as it was done, I was like, I shouldn't have done that. And so I apologized to him. And I was reminded of it. And I apologized to him again just now.
And I got to see Danny's ass.
And Russell gets to go home like he's Steve Shenevy.
No. Shenevy.
Why Steve Shenevy?
Steve Chenegi.
No.
Who am I thinking of? Steve. Who's the ugly actor from Boardwalk Empire?
Oh, Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Shenevy, local news guy.
Yes. Steve Buscemi in Billy Madison. And he's going to go home
put the lipstick on.
Cross your name off his hit list because Danny said sorry today.
Yes, I apologize.
One of the great scenes in Billy Madison. He's like,
no problem. Thanks for the call.
I'm going to call him. And he's like, yeah, I don't remember that at all. And he's like, you don't remember? I used to bully you so bad.
You should bully you.
Don't worry about it at all. He hangs up. He like puts his lipstick on. And then he's like, the list is like people to get even with. And he like crosses Billy Madison's name. So tonight, go home and take that picture of Danny you throw darts at off the wall.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll bring you guys some melted ice cream next time.
Is that a Mike Nolan joke?
No. You want me to have like a reason for being here. So I'm going to get you some ice cream. It'll melt by the time I get up here. And then you'll wonder why I came up here again.
Attaboy.
I thought there was symbolism with melted.
I thought there was a reason for the reference.
The rain was melting.
I was just trying to think what I could bring next time.
Oh, I get
that
it.
I'm happen to wander around the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, can we make a request?
Yeah, sure.
Next time you're in the neighborhood, bring some ribs. Call Darris and say, hey, I got some ribs.
Ribs.
I'd like to come up and see the fellas.
Is there a good barbecue place right in this area?
Nothing that close.
Not remembering?
Right around here, no.
No, okay.
It'd be time to open up a barbecue.
You know what I might have to do? I might have to smoke some up on the old Big Green Egg.
There he is, the Big Green Egg.
If it would ever stop raining!
Yeah. My favorite rooster is the Big Green Rooster.
That's probably my one-seed rooster model, is the Big Green Egg model.
I can bring you guys some ribs.
Thank you, Slashy.
Bye, boys.
LeBron James whining about ring culture. Next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Chris Russell and the Blitz crew. We appreciate their efforts today. We're Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. LeBron James bemoans ring culture and the NBA says it's never enough. I read some of his comments, and I got to be honest, my initial take was, I think he's got some points here. I think there's some merit to this conversation. It's worth discussing on the show. And dare I say, I might even be Team LeBron on this.
Yeah, there are certain merits to the stance. In other words, the same simpletons who just said championships, it's all that matters, will tell you that Joe Flacco is a better quarterback than Dan Marino because Joe Flacco won a championship. Or Eli Manning was twice as good as his brother Peyton until Peyton won one, where he was a shell of himself in Denver. So it's such a huge data point that we celebrate tournaments and postseason championships. We're different than other cultures around the world where. In England's Premier League, for example, there is no postseason tournament. It's the regular season, and okay, who's won? It's Manchester, yay! And that's the end of it.
My ire, though, with what LeBron had to say, and you just did the same thing, is the comparing the NBA to the other sports when it comes to the ring culture conversation. The idea of a championship and your ability to win one. Because while it is totally fair to say LeBron himself cannot win a title and he should not be expected to, in the NBA, you have more control as a superstar player over whether your team wins a game and whether your team wins a series and whether your team makes a playoff run. And yes, whether your team wins a championship than a player does in any other sport.
Yeah, you're the quarterback, the wide receiver, and the left tackle all in one.
In football, you play a side of the ball, unless you were a superstar at Colorado and went in the top five this year. Travis Hunter. But you play quarterback, let's say, the most important person on the field, the guy with the most to say over a win or a loss. And yet and still, you've still got to sit there and watch your defense and your special teams and your kicker and your receivers have to catch the ball. In fact, Joe Theismann tells us the most dependent position in sports is the quarterback position because of the line in front of you and all the little things around you that have to happen. And we think, correctly, I'd say, that quarterback is the position with the most control. And yet a guy who's won an MVP before says it's the most dependent position in all of sports. But that's football. Baseball, Mike Trout hasn't been to the postseason in a decade and has never been out of the division series and hasn't ever had a chance to go for an LCS or a World Series, and before all his injuries was one of the greatest players of all time, because he gets three or four at-bats a game to impact the game and the occasional ball hit to him. But you can't pitch, and you can't hit for your eight teammates. And we could go on and on with the other sports. Basketball, then probably hockey, then maybe quarterback, then maybe baseball because you play on two sides of the ball, then maybe football in that order. And for me, in terms of how relevant are you to the outcome of any one game? So that's my annoyance, is just when people lump basketball in with everything else like it's the same, which LeBron goes on to do. But I think the general idea of what he said has some merit. He said, when you try to nitpick an individual because he's not able to win a team game or a team match or whatever the case may be, I don't know.
It's officially Madden 20.
Madden can wait for one
second. It's not right now.
Madden respectfully, yeah. Madden's not out, and we're doing some things here that are more important.
Mm-hmm.
Darius does have a Madden league.
He does have Madden league. He's leaving it, though.
If you want to take that up with Darius, please get with him.
Mm-hmm.
But Darius' Madden league's ending soon.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to do it very quickly.
That's right.
And don't beat Darius.
Yeah. Speaking of ring chasing, you could get your ass chased right out of there. You want a ring.
He will knock you out of the league.
Oh, did you win? Bye.
Here was LeBron's quote, though. And maybe something about Madden will
pop. Is there anything Madden in there?
Trying to nitpick an individual because he was not able to win a team game or a team match or whatever the case may be. I don't know where it started, but it's a long conversation, especially when it comes to me individually. He said this on his own podcast, Mind the Game with Steve Nash. It's so weird, it's never enough. I think that's kind of true. No matter what LeBron does, if he doesn't win a title, the LeBron detractors, of which I belong to that camp, I've got a card in my wallet, I could show it to you. It's right next to my Pupatella MVP card. I can take it out and go, he didn't win, Jordan still got six. It's a much larger conversation. But when you start whining about how people care about the number of rings you have, which is what he did, when you start whining as if you have no control over it or you're just like any other player in any other sport, that's where you're going to lose me. Let's play some of this podcast, this LeBron James show, where on Mind the Game, he played the victim about ring culture.
I don't know why it's discussed so much in our sport. And why it's the A-all, be-all of everything. You sit here and tell me, you know, Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley and Steve Nash, you know, our wasn't unbelievable. Like, oh, they can't be talked about or discussed with these guys because this guy won one ring or won two rings or one. Like, it's just weird to me. It's like saying Peyton Manning can't be in the same room with Brady. Mm. Or Mahomes, because he only has one ring. They don't never discuss that in a sport.
Right.
Or telling me that Dan Marino is not.
First of all, that's not correct.
It's constantly discussed.
It's all that's discussed. I mean, I think Peyton Manning's the greatest quarterback of all time. And anytime I've ever suggested that, an entire phone bank of people tell me that I'm an idiot. And they just talk about how many championships Tom Brady's won. It's literally the only thing. Now, on this show, we've shouted down quarterback wins and losses. I think championships similarly are not a quarterback statistic. But more than a wide receiver and more than a defensive tackle and more than probably a special teams linebacker or a kicker, you do have some say on whether or not your team is going to win the game. But both of his points I thought were wrong there, in that, like, nobody says Charles Barkley wasn't an unbelievable player. Nobody says that Steve Nash won an MVP with Phoenix.
Or Iverson dragging Eric Snow and company to the finals isn't incredible. Yeah.
Now, do people hold against them that they don't win titles? I'm sure Charles Barkley would say that he hears that all the time.
Yeah.
Shaq makes fun of him every night for it. Does LeBron get that held against him in a Jordan conversation? Of course. But let's not pretend like if you didn't win a title, nobody thinks you were any good, which is kind of what he was doing.
Yeah, that's part one. But the second part of this, and this is one of my big frustrations with him specifically, why'd you make the moves that you made? Why did you make the moves that you made? Why didn't you stay in one place and have, you know, and just do the best you could and chop wood? What were you doing?
Oh, we'll get there.
Were you doing?
LeBron, this is from his pod.
Or telling me that Dan Marino is not the greatest slinger of all time. Or he can't be in the room with those guys because he didn't win a championship. Mm-hmm. They don't discuss those things, you know. I don't know. Did Barry Bonds win a World Series? I don't think so. I don't think so. Barry Bonds never won a World Series. So. You can't sit here and tell me that he's not the greatest baseball player to ever touch a bat.
Again, pause real quick. Good point. He has not won a World Series. Bad point. Barry Bonds' control over whether he won a World Series, I'm going to make up numbers here for my point, was 11%. Yours is 76%. You playing 44 minutes in the NBA with five people on the floor against five people playing both ways.
Directly intervening on defense, like guarding the guy with the ball, help it. Like, it'd be, if Barry Bonds got to Bugs Bunny and pitch and play center field and shortstop and first base on a given possession.
It's just a terrible comparison. In the only sport I even do allow for rings really in a conversation juxtaposing players is basketball for that reason. But he's still doing this. They only discuss me. They don't discuss the other guys thing. Dan Marino, Barry Bonds. Yes, they do, man. Not Bonds. Baseball, there's no such thing as ring culture, like, at all. Because there shouldn't be, frankly, because you control almost nothing. But they only do this with me. Have you ever watched Stephen A. Smith on television talking about a quarterback? All right, keep going.
I mean, Jerry West, I think, went to like nine straight NBA finals.
Right.
And the logo. And was only able to win one. And he was the logo of our league.
Yeah.
So you can't sit here and tell me that, okay, well, because he only won one, the guy can't be in the same room with the guy who won two or three or four. Like, why not? This guy, he's our logo.
We talk too much about rings, is what they go on to say. LeBron goes on to say. The same LeBron James, by the way, who when he went to Miami, when he went to Miami to play for the Heat, when he signed up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, the guy that says, we talk too much about rings. You guys give me too hard a time about how many championships I've won. You hold the ring thing against me, said this.
Also know you three kings came down here to win championships. Not one, championships.
Not two.
LeBron, tell us about that.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. Oh. Hey, and when I say that, and when I say that, I really believe it.
We talk too much about rings. The ring culture thing is over the top. It's crazy how much you guys care about number of rings. Says LeBron James, who at his introductory press conference with the Heat, said this.
Not four, not five, not six, not seven.
That's your GOAT, Gen Z? Couldn't be me.
Mm-mm-mm.
Do you guys have any idea?
Any idea?
Any idea how different this sounds than anything Michael Jordan ever said ever? Do you have any clue? That's your GOAT? Sorry, Gen Z. Couldn't be me.
Oh, man.
Couldn't be me. I mean, the difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
The chasm.
Hearing LeBron say this. It's just not fair that you expect me to win all these rings. He had me at first. I was with him. I was going to say, yeah, you know, that does get held against you a little bit. And then you start comparing yourself to football players and baseball players.
Again, there's a difference between, hey, as a culture, our sports loving culture, we only care about the tournament. We don't care about the regular season near as much because, and I would say, well, neither do you. You take more rest days than anybody in the world, right? We're doing maintenance days now, load management. So you guys have devalued the regular season on your own. You guys have told us that it doesn't matter as much. But anyway, whatever. It's about the playoffs. We overcare about the playoffs. Is that your point? Very good point. But when you start kvetching and whining, you're the GM. You had who you wanted every stop. In order to make you happy and keep you under contract, they had to hire guys that your agent also represented. Like, you're handpicking all your running mates.
Yeah, you went
every step of the way.
You picked players. You picked the coach. You had coaches fired and hired. No one.
My God.
Probably in sports has ever had more control. And I think he's the second best player of all time. Yeah. But he's one of the best ever. But also in terms of his greatness has probably had more say in a winning or a losing. And the fact that they didn't win the title is not on LeBron, right? This year and most years. He's almost always incredible. So if that's his only
his
point,
numbers
fine.
Are insane. Yeah.
But you don't get to do both the not one, not two, not three, seven, not eight, not 11, not 16 thing. And also then tell me that people bother you too much about how many rings you've won. Sorry, can't play both ways. But I would love to hear from people on this. 800-636-1067. Do you think he's got a point about ring culture? This is The Fan.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I wish Clary was here so he could answer for LeBron because he's a LeBron stan. I just tweeted him, though.
Yeah.
Hey, at Ryan Clary 11, come get your goat. He's complaining about taking heat for not winning enough. He had me for a moment because I'm an anti-QB wins guy, right? And I'm like, okay, he's on to something. But then he wants to act like him and Barry Bonds have the same control over who wins and loses when he's hiring and firing coaches and GMs. When he's picking players, when he's demanding who's there and who isn't, how many Tristan Thompsons can we drag along with us, Aaron Rodgers style?
Yeah, I mean, he shows up to L.A. I'm here for the rebuild, guys. Let's work with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and the cast of young players. 5 minutes in, I need Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, and a bunch of other veterans to try to go after this thing. You control everything. Everything. They have to hire your buddies to, like, be in charge of security and to make sure your ties are tied. You fraud. Oh, I can't stand it.
This is a funny thing, by the way. He had as many rings in Miami as Jeff Conine did. That's just a good
thing. That's a good thing. Which is one, right? Jeff Conine won? Didn't he win one?
Miami Marlins.
Yeah, Jeff Conine.
97 Marlins.
You sleep on Jeff Conine, short swing.
I'm sure I do. I'm sure he wasn't the cleanup batter for the Orioles at the peak of my Orioles fandom.
But I don't get why you'd sleep on him, though.
What number did he wear?
A baseball number.
Sounds like one of us is sleeping.
Mm. I don't remember numbers.
Okay, it was number 18. What was he known for? He was a national-level athlete in a non-baseball field before he chose baseball.
Ping pong.
No.
Tennis.
Racquetball.
Racquetball.
One of us
it's
is
a racket sleep. Sport.
One of
but
us
you just slip on a short swing.
Needs a Casper.
You sleep practice. On a short swing.
Let's go to Vaughn in Alexandria. What's up, Vaughn? How are you?
Hey, what's up, gents?
Hey, man.
Can somebody please tell LeBron the jig is up? I mean, stop it. You created this whole podcast with your media paid personalities to refute everything that anybody says about you. Last week it was no bag. This week is ring culture. Next week is going to be something else. Look, man, we only compare rings to greats. It's simple barbershop talk. We're only talking about the elite of the elite. The only way you can separate the two is rings. That's the only two. LeBron is ranked by number two by most people. What do you mean that he doesn't get credit? I think he's going to complain until everybody has him number one. That's all, fellas. Thanks.
That's, you appreciate know what, you. Though? The last point, because I like the idea of, like, the barbershop talk and the championships. I think you're onto something there. It's not how I see sports. I don't see it through the lens of titles. I kind of see it more how LeBron was talking. I just don't like him playing the victim. And especially when you brought this on yourself, oh, by the way, with the audio that we played, lest we forget. But the last point he made, I really, really liked, which is, bro. This victim card of like, yes, you have a bunch of detractors, a lot of haters, so to speak. It's because you're popping. You know, the song, right? If you ain't got haters, you ain't popping. Like, it's the old Frank Lucas line that I bring up all the time in American Gangster. You can be successful and you can have enemies. You can be unsuccessful and you can have friends. You can't want everyone to like you. They're not going to. By the way, not everything you do is likable. He does some cool stuff. He does some likable stuff. Yeah. But a lot of your whining and your complaining and your acting like you got shot in the face when somebody sneezed near you, That's not that likable, bro. I'm sorry. You hopping around team to team to try to get your next ring that you don't care about at all, apparently.
That you don't want to be judged for.
Right. Is not that likable, right? So you got to deal a little bit.
Yeah, if you put your whole career for a garbage organization that could never find the right talent around you and just, you know, chopped wood and toiled in anonymity, like if Karl Malone, if the Jazz weren't any good.
Oh, this is interesting.
If all he ever did was play great for a crappy team forever and never got anywhere and you're never thought of well, then I get your point.
You know what? This is brilliant. All the guys he mentioned, so like Barkley,
yeah,
played for a couple teams. But you don't think if Charles Barkley played in an era where he could have just hopped on, latched on with two other really good dudes, he would have won a title? Of course he would have. Like Iverson or any of these other guys. This era, it's easier for the superstar to win a title than it's been because you're Kevin Durant. You just got to go, I'll be a Warrior. I'll just join Steph Curry and the Splash Brothers. And then you go get your championship, basically. That's actually a really good point. But the caller's right. Most people have you as a consensus top three player, four player, whatever, in NBA history. The majority of the people that I hear talking anymore have him number two. There's some silly geese who are like 18 to 26 years old who have him number one.
Yeah, young people have him number one because they don't know.
They just, and it's not their fault. It's adorable. Right? You guys are allowed to be cute and innocent and sweet.
It's a worldview that doesn't understand that things happened before you.
Right. Your favorite movie is also How to Train Your Dragon. You know what I'm like? There were movies before that, but this one's pretty good too. I understand. Number two all time's not bad.
It ain't bad.
I don't know that you got to go full victim card on that. But what I want to get into is, does he have a point on the ring culture thing?
Absolutely.
800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.